third hour of the program. The toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. As we launch here into the third hour, we will take your calls about absolutely anything. And I know, Mark, you got an email you want to get to here coming up. But first, some economic news that is, I think, particularly interesting and sad. In fact, it's tragic. Providence, Rhode Island. According to Providence Business News, PBN.com, hundreds of businesses across Rhode Island, not a very big place. So, hundreds of businesses across Rhode Island, about 1,200 of them, in fact, have been told to either pay the state sales tax revenue or close their doors. According to the Associated Press, roughly 1,200 firms will be forced to shut down unless they pay overdue sales tax immediately, says the AP. The move was first reported by the Providence Journal. The Rhode Island Division of Taxation has hand-delivered hundreds of letters informing businesses. Talk about service. They got hand-delivered.
The revenue service.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to provide you the service of taking your money from you.
Today.
Informing businesses they have been operating without a permit since June 30th because of their failure to pay sales tax. According to the AP, state officials say they believe the businesses are withholding sales tax revenue from the state. So this cannot be allowed to continue. I mean, if 1,200 businesses just start holding back on their sales tax, then other businesses might start holding back on their sales tax. And then what? Then what will happen to us in the state? Well, yeah, what would happen to them? What would happen to the
state? I'll tell you what will happen to the – if they actually close down 1,200 businesses, I can tell you Rhode Island's going to go down the toilet really fast.
Exactly. That's how I feel.
I'd be much more concerned about that than what's going to happen to the state if they don't get their
money.
They
don't care about that. They don't care about these moms and pops that have maybe worked all their lives to put this business together and have done their darndest to keep things going here in a down economy and aren't able, or maybe they've for whatever reason, they're not able to pay the sales tax. I mean, they've probably collected it. But they must have put it to other things. I don't know what their individual stories are. Maybe they've stopped collecting it entirely. Obviously, that would be ideal for people to just stop participating entirely. But Bill Vernon, the state director of the National Federation of Independent Business in Rhode Island, issued a statement this afternoon calling on state officials to halt the closings. He says, with one of the highest state unemployment rates in the country, it's beyond stunning that Rhode Island officials would march down Main Street, shutting down 1,200 businesses, leaving proprietors and thousands of workers on the street without a paycheck. To say this couldn't come at a worse time would be the understatement of the year. He also says it appears that state officials have also made numerous mistakes in their recent campaign to padlock private businesses. I imagine those mistakes, the article doesn't go into detail, but I imagine those mistakes are, you know, paperwork snafus where one business will be shown as owing taxes, but in point of fact they've paid them, but they got shut down anyway. That kind of stuff. Those little oopsie mistakes that the state tends to do so often.
Because they have no incentive not to.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do, lose the customer?
Oh, sure, you can appeal our decision. Just, we'll hear your case after we're done with these other 1,000 cases.
There are no ramifications when they do violence to other people.
For the state, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not accountable because they're a monopoly.
1,200 businesses have been told, pay up or we're shutting you down. This is the madness, some of the madness of government. They're killing their own the golden goose. They're cannibalizing.
They're biting and that feeds them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, now it's true. They claim they haven't been getting their sales tax payments, and they believe that they deserve them for whatever reason. But rather than allow these folks to continue on and paying their employees and continue generating products and services for the economy, they'd rather come in with their threats of violence, and they'd rather hurt people for continuing doing business. This is protection.
This it's protection in the mafia style.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Except it's the mafia writ large. The mafia couldn't have expected to have a client list this big, could they?
Yeah, some might argue that the Providence government actually is the mafia.
Well, I agree with that. But
like the mafia really did take over Rhode Island. Is what?
Well, all governments are mafia. I mean, all governments are gangs. They're gangs.
Mafia
large.
Is a specific term. It's about the Italian.
Not always. Mob. There's the Russian mafia as well.
Right, but they have mislabeled them. It's a use of the term mafia to mean mob or gang or organized crime.
Okay. Yeah, and I've heard Chinese mafia. The Yakuza, no, what is it?
Yakuza,
that's right.
But they have a name, right?
Is that Chinese or Japanese?
Yakuza, yeah.
Is that Japanese or Chinese?
Oh.
I don't know.
It might be Japanese.
Call in and get the white Chinese.
But there you go. Just an example of what is happening here where people are having a tough time running their businesses. They're not able to make things to make ends meet. So one of the things they cut out was paying the tax man. And as a result.
That's just it. The times are really rough. And so there's not as much revenue for government because there's not as much revenue for everyone else either. And so other people are having to tighten their belts to survive. And then the government's going to, it's like, oh, we aren't going to want to cut back on anything. Yep. So when everyone else is tightening their belts, they want to draw more revenue.
Pay up.
And it's like taking blood out of a sick person. I mean, it's insane. Twisted. It's in order to save their jobs and not have to make the same tighten their belts the way everyone else is, they're going to really kill the golden goose, as you say.
Yep. And so they're just delaying the inevitable, and that is that eventually this isn't going to work out. Because if these folks go out of business, then as they're pointing out, a lot of these people are going to be out of work. And that means that many of them are going to be signing up for unemployment and signing up for state welfare services and things like that, increasing the burden, increasing the demand on various different state services. And, of course, as you're saying, state certainly isn't going to cut back, so they'll raise taxes again. They'll raise property tax. They'll raise whatever fees and other taxes they can possibly raise to milk more or to suck more blood, if you will, out of their hosts.
This is, you know, the people are unable to abstractualize. We talked about that earlier. They don't see the harm. It's very broad and ambiguous. You know, who knows what economic benefits would have come from people who spent their money that they still had? Who knows what businesses would have gotten more business and hired another person, or who would have been able to produce more cheaply and in order to be more competitive, or who knows what? Or who would have bought more services from another business because they had the money to do that and would have helped that business and they would have hired someone else or raised incomes for people. All that is very vague. You can never nail down like all the harm that was done by this broadly based taxation.
Right.
The state can point to anything they created with the money they stole. So they can say, look, we created jobs with this. And it was like, oh, see, look, that's a benefit we wouldn't have gotten. But you don't know what harm was done.
It takes
a libertarian mindset to understand that, to abstractualize that and be able to understand that there's this broad based harm.
Right, and you also have to understand that the jobs generally that they create, bureaucratic jobs, don't really add anything to, in a lot of cases, don't add anything
value
to the marketplace,
yeah,
period. And in some cases, don't they don't add in the case they don't add, you know, the same amount that they would from the point of view of the marketplace.
Yeah.
So you know, it's very difficult to say that, well, we created jobs. You may have created a job, you did not necessarily create value.
Yeah. Govern means to limit.
To control.
And the idea, well, actually, technically means to limit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at governors in the engineering world, that's what they do. They make sure that the flow rate or of some electricity or some water
or that your
or
car
liquid,
can't go over 55. Or
yeah,
something.
They make sure that when you run a truck, it makes sure you don't break the speed limit. It's a governor. And that's what govern means. And if you look at, you know, of course, people have this notion they want government to limit bad things. Like crime and maybe poverty and things like that, they want to limit or what they consider bad behavior. Say companies that aren't paying people enough, whatever it is that they want it to limit the bad things. But it means to limit. And so Mark's saying, you know, what Mark's pointing out, these people are out there limiting all these things.
1,200 businesses. Yep. 1,200 businesses. I mean, what is the average amount of employees that the average small business has? 15, 20, 25. I mean, even if it's just 10, that's 12,000 people that just lost their jobs.
In a very small state. Yeah.
Lose their jobs because this is the final warning, right? The government is coming around to these folks saying, hey, just letting you know, you don't have a permit anymore. So pay up or we're shutting you down. And this is their final notice. This is their last warning. And if they don't come up with the cash, which will only get them going for another year, then they'll only be able to continue on for however long the next time the time limit is before the government comes around. Actually, I guess it's not a year with sales taxes. They probably expect receipts every week with that from businesses, don't they?
I thought it was monthly, but
it's monthly, whatever.
I know.
If you can explain, let us know.
Read Drop Dead Gorgeous, the debut horror novel by liberty-loving Irish author Wayne Simmons.
Meet horror's new bad girls in the chilling Paige Turner, hailed by David Mundy, author of Haters, as completely brilliant. Drop Dead Gorgeous is available from Amazon.freetalklive.com and all other major online retailers. Go to DropDeadDolls.com now for more details. Live free, then die.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extracts, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Today, we cannot afford to ignore the current state of our country. The economy, job layoffs, mass foreclosures, and now we are all at risk of being exposed to this new flu pandemic. The Center for Disease Control has declared a public health emergency across the United States. What can you do to prepare yourself? The answer is ZeroFlu.com. ZeroFlu.com offers you the very best in air purifiers. These revolutionary air purifiers protect up to 3,000 square feet of your home and stop 99.9% of airborne allergens, influenza, bacteria, viruses, pollen, dust, pet dander, black mold, MRSA, and more. Not only from the air, but from all surfaces. With no filters to replace ever, you save money. Prepare yourself today. To learn more, visit ZeroFlu.com. That's ZeroFlu.com. Or call 888-766-6066. 888-766-6066 today. ZeroFlu.com. Protecting you and your family one day at a time.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh. Healthy. Easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and FreeTalkLive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
That's the SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com, the features we give away. So enjoy those, including archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, click and download. They're right there on the front page of the website, and they're free. So enjoy freetalklive.com. And from creating new and old media to political action to civil disobedience and market-based activism, you'll find more pro-liberty activism than you likely ever imagined possible when you move to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. And perfect opportunity, perfect segue there into what happened today here in the soon-to-be Free State. we've got a ways to go until we can, I think, actually call it the free state, which, of course, could be argued as an oxymoron in its own right. But nonetheless, today we had Sam was on trial, our buddy Sam Dodson from ObscureTruth.com. Actually, earlier in the day, one of the disorderly six, Patrick, was first on trial at 10 o'clock this morning. And I'd say about 20 folks, 20, 25, 30 people, maybe 25 people showed up. I didn't take a count. But a good turnout for an early morning situation. And, of course, he was arrested after our friend Sam was arrested for videotaping in a courtroom, for recording video in a courtroom. Patrick was arrested because he stayed in that particular, court lobby, not courtroom. He was in a court lobby, a public area.
I'm not even sure I'd call it a court lobby because there's other stuff there, too. So
it's like a common area,
I guess.
It's more
of a common area, for several things.
And so Patrick was arrested for refusing to leave that area. The reason why he was staying was because Sam was screaming from the other room as he was being tortured by some of the police officers there. They were lifting him up by the by his handcuffs that he had on and crushing a bracelet, a sharp-edged bracelet, into his wrist, causing quite a bit of pain. And so Patrick and a number of others had stayed there to monitor the situation as best they could. Well, the police decided to arrest them for disorderly conduct. This morning they dropped the disorderly conduct charge and kept the resisting arrest charge against Patrick because he, like Sam, went limp when they went to arrest him. And as he pointed out today, which I thought was an interesting way to put what he was doing, Patrick pointed out that he didn't choose to go limp. He allowed himself to go limp, that he didn't decide to go limp. He just allowed himself basically to go back into his natural state, which would be to not have any of his muscles being flexed.
And I understand that some people are going to say, well, that sounds silly. Of course, he decided to go limp. But honestly, the impression I got, and this made sense to me, was he really was like, he was forced, like, I have to choose between a couple of really ridiculous options right here. And he was in a moment of indecisiveness. And at the time, he's like, well, I don't feel comfortable with the option of leaving right now because we don't know what's going on with Sam. And we also didn't know where Sam was, where he was going. They were not really clear about all that. And it was really, really
they weren't
going
to be clear either.
We're trying to dig and find out what the heck is going on. And so it was almost like a moment of indecisiveness, and he left, and it just left him feeling like, I really, I'm just not going to do anything. And that was going limp, which is not doing anything, not even supporting your own weight and so forth.
And he was doing a good job, too, today, just in general. In fact, the judge, Judge Burke, who's the same judge that's been putting people in jail, all kinds of peaceful people in jail for the last several months, did comment to him and compliment him at the end of the trial as to how good of a job that he did defending himself, and then, found him guilty.
Right before a really hefty sentence.
Found him guilty.
Which he suspended, but it was a hefty sentence.
It was a $300 recommended fine from the prosecutor, and then the judge asked Patrick what he would recommend. And Patrick, of course, said, I recommend you do nothing and let me go.
I think that you should drag the people in here that perpetrated this and throw them in jail for harming an individual.
Well, I think people should be forgiven, and we should move on and have people start doing the right thing.
He was being prepared to be sentenced.
I'll forgive him if they'll stop doing it. Stop doing it. Stop victimizing innocent people under this pretense that you're protecting who. And stop doing it, and then I don't care about prosecuting you and all that stuff.
Exactly.
Just stop
Let's
doing
just
it.
Move on. But of course he was found guilty, and the judge decided that instead of a $300 fine, he would make it a $1,000 fine and suspend the fine for a year. And what that means is that if Patrick is busted for a felony or a misdemeanor or a major motor vehicle violation, within that year's time, he will then have to pony up the $1,000, which he likely will not do. The activists up here are very non-cooperative, at least in the Keene area, and I think in the Grafton area as well, with the cops. And so likely he would not pay that $1,000 and would probably have to go to jail for about 20 days. Because it's $50 a day is what you can jail off by sitting in a cell.
Exactly. My immediate thought was, there's a strategy to giving him a hefty sentence and then suspending it under a pretty long period of, good behavior means obeying.
That's right.
And you're going to obey now because a 20 day sentence if you don't. So, he's got something to hold over his head and make him start obeying
him. They're strategizing. And obviously, you know, what else would they do? They're trying to figure out, you know, how do we handle these people?
How do we control these people?
Well, yeah. What else would you want to do with
right.
it? I can tell you how you handle these people, Judge Burke. Let these people, you know, film in the courtroom as long as it's a number, you know, a fair number, you know, two or three of them being able to film in the courtroom, film in the lobby. There's nothing wrong with that. That's you know, this being clamping down artificially like they're doing just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. Almost everything that we've been talking, everyone's saying the issues aren't important that we've been talking about, but almost everything has been about free speech. Freedom of press and free speech. We have things to say, and we are going to say them, and we are, you know, we have things to say about how they are doing things, and they are supposedly public servants, and so we should be able to say those things, just express ourselves, and that means filming them and saying, and having opinions about what they're doing and telling them to other people. And those are the kind of things that, it doesn't, look, if you're not a voluntarist, that's okay, but look, we are trying to make them more accountable, and that everybody should want that, whether you're a voluntarist or not. You should want the government that has been imposed upon us without any choice whatsoever to be more accountable to us, and that's what we're trying to do. So, and I don't understand how anyone could not want that. And it's a very important issue that people should be able to watch what public servants are doing, have some transparency and some accountability. And that's a really important issue. I mean, everything that's been pushed this far has been about that. And
so, well, it hasn't just been that. There's been, of course, marijuana disobedience as well. And it's just been, if they would just stop hurting peaceful people, they wouldn't see these activists in their courtroom anymore. They wouldn't have to deal with any of this stuff. None of this would happen had they just left people who weren't harming others alone. And what will it take to get them to come to those conclusions? I don't know. They demand that, if you don't like the way it is, change the law. Because they, even if they can see the value in what we're saying, many of them who can see that value are too afraid to actually do anything about it within their position.
And I think the law will change. I think that we will have, you have to impact the culture in order to affect a political change. I think a lot of the political changes that, you know, people are working for different political changes like marijuana changes and everything, which, you know, and I applaud them absolutely for the effort, but that's happening because the culture's ready for it.
Yeah,
and it's not going to until the culture's ready for it.
And the good news is, Sam and I we went and got some dinner here later, after his arrest. And we're recognized. Sam was recognized by somebody, and he was very excited to meet us and thank us for what we've been doing here. So I think there are changes happening that we may not even realize are going on, and that we can only really kind of tap into here and there when we happen to encounter people that are being affected by us. More coming up.
As you already know, drinking pure, high-alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline ingredients. Using Plasma pH Drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops per liter of water you drink to raise the pH to the ultimate level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-216-9767. That's 269-216-9767 today.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now, 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and FreeTalkLive.com. Dial us up at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. 1-800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Features including Facebook. You want to become a fan of the Free Talk Live Facebook profile? You're certainly welcome to do that at facebook.freetalklive.com. That's facebook.freetalklive.com.
If you want to get a free one-week trial of Chews for Health Superfruit Complex, I've been taking it for the last few weeks now, and it's a chewable vitamin. Tastes great. It includes fruits and berries that have tremendous health-enhancing qualities. All you have to do is call 800-219-8874. You get a free week trial. You just have to pay the shipping and handling. 800-219-8874 to Choose for Health.
All right, so we are talking about the situation today that went down. It's been a busy week for activists here in the Keene, New Hampshire area. As you know, if you listened to the show before, those of us behind the microphones are Free State Project participants. We moved here to New Hampshire from around the country as part of the movement of liberty-oriented people to all congregate in the same place and get active and stand up for freedom. And that means standing behind people who have decided to make a stand that may be a little bit stronger than one that you might be able to take at this time in your life. And today, there were several dozen people that turned out for the trials of Patrick and Sam, two different trials happening during the day today here in Keene, New Hampshire. Now, Patrick was one of the disorderly six. He was arrested after Sam was arrested, and Sam was being put in a lot of pain, some might even say tortured, in another room by the police. And Patrick was standing there listening to this. They ordered him to leave. He refused to. He wasn't in anybody's way or being obnoxious or anything like that. Just simply was standing in a
observing.
Standing in a public area and listening to his friend screaming from another room.
Right, and you know, law enforcement officers have a tendency to do this kind of thing. You know, there's nothing to see here. Go on about your business. We're doing what we're doing, and we don't want any witnesses to it. They don't like that.
Exactly. So he was arrested, charged with disorderly conduct, also charged with resisting arrest after having gone limp. He was found guilty today of resisting arrest. They dropped the disorderly conduct charge. And it's just been an interesting week of inconsistency.
So was that a false arrest then?
Was it a false arrest?
How can you be?
The disorderly conduct was dropped. So
no, according to the New Hampshire's their rules. These are their rules. So according to their rules, is my understanding that you can be charged with resisting arrest even if the arrest was false.
Okay, but was it a false arrest since they dropped the charges?
Doesn't matter. What, you can still be charged with resisting arrest.
Right, but what are the repercussions on them if it's a false arrest?
I don't know. They probably have some sort of, and if you know more than I do, certainly dial in, but they probably have some sort of provision to where if the officer believed at the time that it was a legitimate arrest, then that's good enough. Like if they prove later on that it wasn't legitimate, oh, well, you know, well, we made a mistake.
They cannot be at fault. We believed it was okay at the time. It matter that we violated your rights.
Right, working for the state means you never have to say you're sorry. So they found him guilty, and it's been a week of inconsistency. I mean, we went to three trials on Monday of three of the disorderly six. Patrick's was today, so he was a fourth trial, and the other two guys were had their charges dropped. So two of the disorderly six, all of them originally were charged with disorderly conduct. Patrick had an extra charge of resisting arrest in there because he actually went limp, but he was the only one of the six to go limp. So they dropped Patrick's disorderly conduct charge and only pursued the resisting arrest charge. For that, he was given a $1,000 suspended fine and able to walk out. David, who was one of the disorderly conduct charges, was found guilty on Monday of disorderly conduct, even though he did just as much as Patrick, which was nothing, stand in the room.
Right. He stood there just like Patrick.
He said he sat down. I don't think I was there when it happened, but he said he sat down on the floor.
He did sit down on the floor. But either way, he was not in anybody's way, not doing anything against anyone. So they found David guilty of disorderly conduct and sentenced him to, I think it was a $300 fine, if I'm not mistaken.
That became $350 with the surcharge.
Is it $350? Okay.
Like
I thought it was $250 and went to $3 or whatever. Anyway, he's got six days in jail as a result of that because he's not going to pay the fine. So David's found guilty, has to pay a fine. Instead, he's going to jail because he won't pay. Then, let's see, Kurt's trial was delayed, so we don't know what's going to happen with that, I believe. And then
Nix is under advisement, so he hasn't decided yet.
Right, Nix was taken under advisement. He also charged with disorderly conduct, but a completely different result from all of the other people with the same charge. Yeah. He gets taken under advisement, which means the judge is going to write his decision down on an order and send it through the mail. So just no consistency here whatsoever. Now, you could argue that, well, they all made different points in their cases.
When I see him do that, I think that he's leaning towards a not guilty plea, but doesn't want to say it on the camera and have it look like this victory, you know, that
I
we can publicize. So.
Yeah. That's what happened last time Nick got something taken under advisement. When Nick had gone in and refused to pay a speeding ticket, the judge took it under advisement and then later issued a not guilty order.
Now, in this case, you say that they make different arguments, but in this case, the judge isn't just the judge. The judge is the jury at the same time. The judge returns the verdict. So the judge isn't just there to make sure to referee the situation to make sure that both parties get their fair trial. He's there to make a decision. And the judge is supposed to know the laws and therefore really should render a better decision than a jury should. And the idea that he would be giving different decisions really bothers me here.
In cases that were right next to each other,
right? Yeah. And the idea that people making different arguments should somehow matter. That's not his job in that case. His job isn't to listen to their arguments.
To ascertain
his
the
job
facts.
Is to dispense justice.
Based on facts, and the facts in this case where they were all behaving in similar ways.
Well, it's interesting because there are procedures that supposedly is supposed to follow some very strict procedures. And for instance, like one thing I've understood, and Bert kind of described some of this in at least one case I know that came up. He was saying that if you don't present the evidence, I cannot consider it. Mm-hmm. So in theory, he's having to, you know, disregard anything he may have heard in another case that this has not come up in this case.
Even though the evidence is the same.
Right. The evidence is pretty much the same. However, like if someone doesn't bring up that so-and-so or whatever. But it seems like, again, though, the procedure only seems relevant when he needs to use it against. I think he sees us as opponents, which he shouldn't be doing, but he sees us as opponents, and it seems like they use the procedure like a weapon. It's like they ignore it when it's a problem for them, but they'll bring it up when they can use it like a weapon, as if it's a, and you heard the Rivera in those cases saying he was with the group. And that was the disorderly conduct. Like, he was associating people in the group, and that's why there was a reporter
so
who violated his order. She didn't get disorderly conduct. He said anyone who's here with it's not on court business. And that there was a reporter who didn't get arrested. Why? Because she wasn't with the group. Mm-hmm. So they are targeting, at least Rivera seems to be targeting the group. You know,
we spent a lot of time with him today, actually.
Yeah, we had some nice, you know, kind of congenial chat, I think, considering the situation.
Very chatty, very nice. We were sequestered during Sam's trial, so we've told you about what happened with Patrick. Our friend Sam Dodson was on trial this afternoon for the whole resisting arrest / refusing to process thing, which originally for Sam was also a disorderly conduct charge, which has been subsequently dropped.
Yeah.
So
David was guilty of disorderly conduct.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Sam was on trial today. Now, Sam had brought in a lawyer, and you and I, Dale, didn't actually get to see it because we were being sequestered.
Right.
We were being called as witnesses at some point. We actually didn't end up getting called today, so you and I basically spent all afternoon in at least from 1:30 to about 4:30, sitting in the courtroom or sitting in an alternate room, hanging out with Sergeant Eli Rivera, who's the man who's been prosecuting all of us.
Yeah,
all of this time. And we had a very nice, friendly chat with Eli.
But you would have preferred just.
I want it to be that way, by the way. I can actually have a calm discussion with someone, like, you know, I feel like we are, you know, we are at odds on some key issues, obviously.
Well, it shows
some pretty big ones, but I love when we can have a calm conversation.
I think there's some value to having those conversations with these guys because it allows us to maybe touch on some things they may have never heard before, and certainly allows them to not see us as violent people.
Right.
That they shouldn't be frightened of us from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, Eli might be ordering me into the back of a cop car someday. It just feels like it's a matter of time. And it would be nice if he actually sees me as a real person, you know, instead of this faceless, you know.
Similarly, there was another cop today that was trying to convince all of us that he wasn't a monster. There was a very long conversation between
some of that
one
I have on
cop,
video.
One of the lieutenants there, and about 30 people that were surrounding him. It was very unusual. We'll continue here and paint the picture for you and take your calls about whatever you want in these remaining moments of Free Talk Live.
A congressman recently revealed that legislation totaling 2,900 pages and involving more than $1 trillion was available to members of Congress for less than 48 hours to study and consider. That's over 60 pages of legislation per hour. Do you think anyone read the entire bill? I'm Jim Babka with DownsizeDC.org. Consider a proposal buried in a 3,200-page, $388 billion bill, which would have empowered committee chairmen or their agents to examine Americans' tax returns. When this horrible provision came to light, no one claimed to know how it got into the bill. One congressman questioned said, I didn't write it, I didn't approve it, I wasn't even consulted. If your attorney represented you this way, he might be disbarred. But this is how Congress represents you every day. That's why DownsizeDC.org has created the Read the Bills Act. You can force Congress to read their bills before they pass them at DownsizeDC.org.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If you'd like to quit smoking regular cigarettes and try a revolutionary new alternative, this might be the most important message you will ever hear. PremiumeCigarette.com brings you the electronic cigarette. It looks like a cigarette. It feels and tastes like a cigarette. And even delivers nicotine like a cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, it doesn't deliver toxic chemicals and tar into your lungs or discolor your teeth. The Premium e-cigarette has no flame or ashes, and you can smoke it anywhere, even where cigarettes are not permitted. Because the vapor you you exhale is only water, not dangerous secondhand smoke. You've tried the gum. You've tried the patch. You've tried cold turkey. Now it's time to try the premium e-cigarette. By doing so, you will save 60 to 75% over regular cigarettes. If you'd like to learn more, visit premiumecigarette.com. That's premium, the letter E, cigarette.com. Premiumecigarette.com. Or call 866-242-9210. That's 866-242-9210 today.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live on the Genesis Communications Network and freetalklive.com. Call in at 1-800-259-9231.
This is Free Talk Live, your show. You take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Even in these remaining moments, maybe enough time for your call. If you make it now, 800-259-9231. Tonight, it's Ian with you.
And Dale.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on our site are free. Also, you'll enjoy Dale's website, anarchyinyourhead.com. Features there are pretty much free also, although if you want to buy a T-shirt, you're going to have to pay for that, which makes sense. But, Dale, you've got cartoons, and you've been doing them for about 2 years now over at anarchyinyourhead.com.
Yeah, I think it'll be about 2 years around Labor Day, so coming
great.
Up soon.
And
there's also a Facebook page, facebook.anarchyinyourhead.com.
They are very liberty-oriented cartoons, and sometimes they're okay. A lot of times they're okay for children, but not this week.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't assume that they're okay for every now and then. There's one that's adult humor.
You said this one may be one of your most controversial.
I thought it would be. It wasn't even my idea, actually. I toned it down from
It's been toned down.
It's Puke's idea, and I gave him credit for it in there and everything. And I actually had to tone it down, and I still thought it was pretty risque. And
I really haven't gotten
any complaints at all about it, so I'm kind of surprised.
It's a joke about the gender makeup of the Liberty Movement. That's about all I think we can say about it.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys and not as many women as we'd like.
So head over to anarchyinyourhead.com and see it for yourself, and then vote for Anarchy in Your Head at vote.anarchyinyourhead.com. Only takes a moment and really helps Dale on the charts, the competitive cartoon charts out there. Vote.anarchyinyourhead.com. Let's go here and just wrap up the story briefly, and want to get to these phone calls. And maybe we can expound upon this a little more. Maybe Sam will call us tomorrow night or Monday or something, and we can talk more about what happened with him. But Sam Dodson from ObscuredTruth.com was on trial today for resisting arrest and for refusal to process when he was refusing to give his legal name to the bureaucrats after he'd been arrested. He had a lawyer with him. You and I can't really comment on much about what went down because we didn't actually see it. We were being sequestered the entire time, and so we had a nice three-hour-long conversation with Sergeant Eli Rivera, the police prosecutor, and one of the police detectives.
And I guess we probably shouldn't talk about it too much. I mean, if anyone's going to say something about it, I don't know. They haven't said anything to us. Like, they were not supposed
to. No, they never actually told us.
We didn't get any instructions at all.
No instructions. All we were told was that we were being sequestered, and that meant that we had to leave the room. So they never said, you can't watch any videos about the trial, you can't do this, you can't do that. They never even broached the topic. One of
it's
the cops...
an opportunity to kick you guys out.
Yeah, I would say, to be on the safe side, I'm going to avoid. If anyone has...
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about what happened inside the trial. I don't want to mess anything up. So.
But it's now going to be until September before this is even close to wrapping up, because there's been a delay. It went overtime today because I think the prosecution may be finished up today. That's what rumor has it. But the third guy never got called from the witness room. So apparently it's still going on. And the next closest date that they can schedule the second part of the trial is September 4th. So well over a month away for part two of Sam Dodson's trial.
Justice is so swift.
Yeah. So we can't talk much about exactly what went down, but I'm sure there will be blog posts. I'm sure there will be video, even though the camera people weren't told they weren't supposed to put the video out. So nobody was told anything as far as restrictions are concerned here.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch any of those or anything.
We'll see. We'll see what ends up playing out. But either way, apparently I heard that they really cornered some of the bureaucrats today, that Sam's lawyer really cornered them with some questioning. I don't know exactly what the parameters are. But what really happened was afterwards, after everybody was leaving, Sam was arrested.
Yep.
Out of nowhere.
It certainly seemed like they were waiting for him. Like they had.
They claimed they weren't.
Yeah.
They claimed they weren't. They claimed they just happened to see Sam driving down the street after the trial, and they claimed that they had heard that his license was suspended from down in Texas. Sam says he didn't know anything about this.
They could have brought that up with him. You know,
went in the trial.
No, well, not in the trial, but afterward.
Yeah,
whatever.
As a courtesy or something, right? But no. Instead, what happened was we were all going out to have some dinner, and most of us had already arrived at the establishment. We were at Armadillo's on Main Street in Keene, and one of our favorite hangouts. And
sounds so tasty when we say the name Armadillo's.
And Meg comes in, and she says, I forget what she said, like, come with me or something like that, hurry.
I didn't even hear it. I just saw everyone, like, stampeding out of the Armadillo's and going down the sidewalk, and I was like, what the heck?
And she's running out the door, and so we're running after her, and she runs over to a nearby parking garage where Sam was in the process of being arrested at that point. There was a port 411, which is kind of a information number that the activists can call to get a phone conversation, or basically whatever you record goes out to hundreds of email addresses. So you can hear some of the action as to what was going on, but basically he was, as they were parking, this cop pulls up behind them and blocks them in, basically, and starts questioning Sam about whether or not he has a valid license. Sam thought he did. Apparently Texas suspended his license, allegedly, without notifying him, or maybe they did. Maybe they sent it to an old address or something like that. And so Sam was then arrested at that point for driving while suspended. Nobody really knew what was actually going to happen. Turns out they probably don't really want him back at jail, so they did end up processing him and letting him out. But now he's got another court date for this time driving while suspended and another charge of refusal of process because he wouldn't answer some of the questions back from the cops.
What I think is more interesting about what happened is a conversation that happened right after they released him. We were there at the KPD when they released him.
With the 30 people surrounding the one cop?
Yeah, they started. Well, yeah, and I actually was there before all those people came back in, and there were just, it was just me and Sam and a few other people, including another officer and the guy that arrested him who was at court today, and there was a discussion about, you know, he complied apparently with fingerprinting, but he's apparently getting some kind of charge for not complying because he didn't answer a bunch of questions. There's nothing, and we couldn't get the cop to answer what it was that's actually written in the law about what that entails other than giving your fingerprints. But he was insisting that in fact there was a violation because he didn't answer a bunch of questions associated with that. He was calling all of that fingerprinting, which is completely arbitrary. It's not written down as far as we can tell. If it is, we're saying, well, tell us where it is. Where does it say that fingerprinting entails? And legalese is usually extremely explicit.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually, if you look at RSAs and things like that, they're very explicit about what is considered to say a lawful order.
Well, what he was claiming was in contradiction to what actually happened before. The first time Sam was arrested, he did give fingerprints, but he didn't answer questions. This time, they told him that they can't take fingerprints unless he's answering questions. So the first time they did one thing,
they weren't letting him comply, and then they charged him with not complying.
Right.
And I want, people listening, I want you to think about this for a second. When they tell you you have the right to remain silent, do you have the right to remain silent? Apparently not.
Nope.
You can get an additional charge for simply not answering their questions.
What happened to me? I got hit with two contempt of court charges for not answering questions in the courtroom. In my own trial.
And you weren't a witness at the time, right?
No. One of them was whether I could pay a fine or not.
Yeah.
Let's go to Eric in Kansas. You can bring up anything. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Ian Martindale.
Hey, Eric, is this Eric, like formerly of Keen?
It is.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight, dude?
Hey.
Well, I wanted to bring up a topic that is maybe a sore spot between libertarians, voting. And I'd like to read a short passage. I know you guys are running out of time, but just like to get this out there so you guys can talk about it. It's from an essay called Election Day, A Means of State Control. It says, the modern state's authority, its vast extractive capacity, its ability to wage war, its ever-growing power to regulate our lives, requires constant reinvigoration via the ballot box. Moreover, and even less obvious, properly administered elections promote cohesiveness, not acrimonious division. Indeed, this periodic reaffirmation of the political covenant may be election's paramount purpose, relegating the actual choice among candidates to mere historical detail. Like the atmosphere, this phenomenon appears nearly invisible, escaping both popular attention and scrutiny from talking head television pundits. Put succinctly, marching citizens off to vote, independent of their choice, is a form of conscription to the political status quo. Election Day, like Christmas or Yom Kippur, is the high holiday, a day of homage and reaffirmation in the creed of the modern state. And I'll take your answers off the line.
I think there's something to what you're saying, but I think it's more than just that. I think there's a whole total package involved. I think that the voting is a process to legitimize the violence in people's minds. I agree with that. But I think that also the people's just general obedience is the biggest problem. I think that people could stop voting and it would not kill the state. The state would continue on because obviously the bureaucrats themselves will go out and vote. So you can always count on the state and their parasites to continue the voting process.
It depends. I think if people start getting really vocal about not feeling that voting is legitimate and you know,
but it has to go beyond
along
that.
With it, you know.
It has to be non-cooperation on a wide variety. You can't just have people stop voting and expect the state to shrivel up and
right.
die.
I've said that before too.
You have to stop cooperating with the state, because if you stop voting, if all of a sudden everybody that votes except the bureaucrats stops voting, but they keep paying taxes, go ahead. We don't care if you don't vote, long as you keep paying us. Same thing with it's an old paraphrase of Vowels. Let them protest, so long as they keep paying taxes.
Yep, I've heard that too.
So obey, and the state continues. Ignore the state, disobey the state, non-cooperate with the state, and then I think we've got a chance of seeing it shrivel up and disappear.
Don't pay, and go and vote. What difference does it make? You're still not paying, you're still not cooperating.
Do you have hair or skin problems? Are you sensitive to fragrances or dyes? Quit suffering. Quit trying the latest, new and improved potions. Try Unicure Hair and Skin Conditioner. It's been sold in top salons since 1973, and I've been using it for the past year, and I love it. Unicure's Hair and Skin Conditioner's gentle, greaseless formula is fragrance and color-free. If you have hair or skin, you need Unicure. Call 888-UNICURE or visit unicure.com. 888-UNICURE. Unicure.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.